Some scattered showers, but dry yet today and tomorrow. A little warmer each day. Tonight, patchy fog could return. 60s mostly in the morning. And then there could be a few upper 50s in the cooler spots. We'll head to a high tomorrow under sunshine, though, back to near 80. Shower, thunderstorm Thursday. 60s in the morning, go to a high end of the upper 70s. 50s in the morning Friday. Sunshine for the afternoon in the middle 60s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. Need business funding? Get up to $25,000 if you have an active business checking account, gross over $5,000 monthly. And if you own commercial real estate free and clear, borrow up to 70% LTV with credit scores of 551 and up, monthly sales of $17,000, 3 months business bank statements, loan amounts up to $500,000. All at quickfundingleasing.com. Call today, 888-972-7436. 888-972-7436.
Good afternoon. Here we are at the Food Show on WGSO. 9:90 a.m. I'm Patty Burnham. I'm sitting in for the vacationing, the well-deserved vacationing Marianne Fitzmaurice, who went to California to meet her new granddaughter and visit with her other two grandchildren. And she'll be back on Wednesday. But in the meantime, I've called every friend I know and asked them to come sit in with me. And today I have my friend Jay Weiss, who's communications director from Second Harvest.
Hey, Patty.
How you doing?
Good, good. Is this thing on?
It is.
It's like the old Far Side cartoon.
Yeah.
Does my voice really sound like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great to see you again.
Good to see you.
And for those who don't know, Patty and I finally got to see each other after the first time in a couple of 3 years at a sort of a biannual broadcaster veterans get together at Rocky and Carlos a couple of weeks ago. And that was very nice to see a lot of folks.
It is.
And but here, glad to be here again on the Food Show's stomping ground, where I've been many, many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Food Show's 33 years. Tom Fitzmaurice started 33 years
ago. It doesn't look a day over 30.
It doesn't. And Marianne has been doing a good job. Tom passed the torch to her.
Yeah.
And she's been doing a good job. We've taken it in a little different direction. We say sometimes if Tom hears us talking about things like Wendy's chili, he would probably not be real happy.
Yeah, with food items, I've been doing low carb for quite some time.
Have
so
you?
I can do all kind of recipes about how to keep it under 20 grams of carbs, and it would put your listeners to sleep. You know, just unless you're talking to somebody else who's doing something like keto, it's kind of like, you know, it's one of those things. But it can be very tasty as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But anyway, it's great to see you.
It's
great
good to see you.
I heard the real Robert Mitchell on the other day.
Bob Mitchell came on with me Wednesday, I think, and Bob Del Giorno came on with me Friday, and he's also going to be on with me this afternoon. After we're going to talk turduckens this afternoon.
That's great, and we got to see Robert Mitchell, Bob Mitchell, again last couple of weeks. But how's Del Giorno doing? He and I worked together way back when I first started at WWL Radio.
Yeah.
Can I say that here? Anyway, long time ago in my past. Yeah. Tom was there, I was there, and Del Giorno was still on the mornings for about 6 months there.
How long has he been on? A friend of mine said when I told him I had Bob Mitchell and Bob Del Giorno on, Don Dubuque. He's another one that I that contacted. Yeah. He said, you've had 100 years of radio experience in 2 days. I said, yeah, we have.
Oh, man, I could talk radio history all day. Don Dubuque and I go back to when I was in college in the early 90s, starting about 1991. And for folks who don't know, radio stations used to have actual live overnight hosts and DJs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an overnight DJ at one of the first FM stations I worked at in Baton Rouge and worked Friday nights into Saturday mornings. And then would hang around and produce Don Dubuque's outdoor show. He was based out of Baton Rouge then. And got to know him then. So it was everything on tape and cart and things like that. Pre-computer.
Yep, pre-computer. Everything mostly. Else. Computerized mostly. But that's what I like about doing this. It's fun to have you in the studio.
Yeah.
And we're talking about food. You know, all we talk about is food. We don't get political on this show. We just talk about food and the food that people likes. like? And, you know, Thanksgiving, this is the, I know it's a busy time for you.
It is. It
Thanksgiving is. And Second Harvest.
Well, it's an opportunity for us to let folks know that we appreciate the support that people thinking of us around Thanksgiving. And people are very generous with their time, a lot of volunteers, a lot of volunteer interest, especially when kids are out of school, too, or people are taking a little time for themselves. Our donations do typically go up around this time of the year because we do have, honestly, some advertising out there, and people are aware. But it's also an opportunity to remind folks that, you know, Second Harvest Food Bank and organizations like ours and the community food pantries that we support, they all need your support year-round, too. So that's that's something we can talk about, and that definitely we raise a lot of money right now this time of year. We get a significant portion of a lot of the food we gather. That helps get us through the spring when we get dry goods and things like that. But this has been a very different couple of years. Believe it or not, we're coming up on almost 2 years of the beginning of this whole, the whole pandemic and hurricanes, and we have been pretty much in continuous emergency response all this time.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to March 16th, I remember when we pulled the trigger at 3:30 on March 16th, I'm sorry, 10:30 a.m., March 16th of 2020. And it rolled on from there, and it's been pretty amazing to see behind the scenes. It's been heartbreaking to see so many people that were impacted throughout COVID, thousands of people coming to us and other food pantries and other organizations like ours, reaching out for the first time. But people have ever asked for help in their lives. And that happened all through 2020. We got through that and thought, okay, well, 2021 is going to be a little better. And then we hit the reset button.
Yeah.
And we had through all of 2020 and dealing with all that. But this is all pre-vaccination. Everything our staff was going through, because our staff was just like everybody else. They had family issues, kids out of school, finding daycare, family members moving in with them, because a lot of people in New Orleans hit in the service industry and maybe had more than one job, lost incomes in the household. So dealing with all that. And then going back to when we were starting to get some traction, then, you know, right at the end of August into September, three hurricanes in a row.
Oh, that's right.
Our service territory, our Second Harvest Food Bank, the whole name is Second Harvest Food Bank of Greater New Orleans and Acadiana, which is a mouthful. Everybody knows this is Second Harvest. But we cover 23 parishes. We were founded in 1982. We're coming into our 40th year.
Really?
Yes. We were founded by Archbishop Philip Hannon. And we are an affiliated ministry of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, not a lot of people do. We're you know, are we independent? No, we're an affiliated ministry of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And we work closely with Catholic Charities and other other ministries like that. But we work with a lot of other churches as well. And we, you know, more than three-fourths of the pantries we support, I say pantries, it's community organizations like pantries and soup kitchens, homeless shelters, domestic abuse shelters, sometimes schools, a lot of NGOs, non-governmental organizations. The you know, a good majority of them are faith-based across all denominations, all stripes of faith. That we work with everybody and anybody, and really kind of take off the those types of glasses when it comes to helping people. You know, because at the end of the day, that's what it really is all about. But we've been doing this for 40 years, and I think I kind of lost my thread there because I get thinking about everything that's going on. Second Harvest Food Bank of Greater New Orleans and Acadiana. We actually cover 23 parishes, so that means it's all of South Louisiana except for the Greater Baton Rouge area. That's the Greater Baton Rouge Food Bank. It's a fantastic partner of ours. They're another large food bank. They serve about 11 parishes there. But we cover Lafayette. We cover Lake Charles, Houma Thibodaux area, of course, Greater New Orleans, as well as the North Shore. So all pretty much all of South Louisiana. So when the hurricanes hit in Lake Charles, that was in our territory. When it hit in Lafayette, that's our territory as well. So we've been pretty busy across the entire way. It's trying to deal with the ongoing pandemic and the response there, where thousands and thousands of people are needing help in a very different model, where normally year-round we rely on our hundreds of food pantries that we support. And that's our model. We take in, out before all this, you know, sort of hit the fan. We did 35 to 40 million pounds a year was on average of food. Yeah, that we collected, that was donated, that we purchased. And then we would take it in. Sometimes if it was loose donations, everything is inspected, reboxed, and then it's turned around and sent out from our two main facilities. We have a big facility near Harahan, 200,000 square feet, a 30,000 square foot facility in Lafayette. And then we turn around and send it out to these hundreds of local community pantries. And that's our normal model. It works pretty well. Always trying to improve it. When COVID hit, immediately had such an impact across the state shutdowns, school shutdowns, immediate hit on jobs here because of so many service industry folks. Then it also impacted all those community pantries and churches and folks like that that we normally support, that's our normally our immediate go-to. In disaster, we rely upon them. If they're open, or even if they're not, and a disaster hits in their area, they know where the need is. They know the community leaders. They know how to. So many of these partner agencies, and call them agencies, but organizations and churches across 23 parishes and across the state were shut down themselves. They were often volunteered by senior citizens. They're retirees, just like us. So those were the first folks, correctly, who they said, stay home. Don't come out.
Right.
So we lost a big part of our volunteer base for a while. They did, too. So probably about immediately, all this happened so suddenly. A hurricane, you at least know, at least these days, a few days out, maybe a week out. This happened so suddenly. And we responded well. But we were kind of scrambling to find ways to identify all the needs and how to best get the food out there. And it was not just us. It was every food bank in the country. Mm-hmm. We do, Second Harvest has done a lot of disaster response, and emergency response, and some man-made disasters. I consider Katrina in Orleans.
Right.
That's a man-made disaster.
Exactly.
Katrina in St. Bernard and Mississippi Gulf Coast, a tremendous natural disaster, to which we responded to all of those.
Mm-hmm.
But because we responded to so many disasters and emergencies, government shutdowns, the oil spill is the type of disaster we responded to, but floods, tornadoes, everything. We had literally have everything in the book, and we had pandemics in there in our disaster plan. But it was kind of like, you know, we'll figure that one out.
Yeah, when it happens.
And then not in our lifetimes, and we really did.
And then here we are.
So here we are.
We're going to take a break for just a minute. It's going to be a short break, and we'll be right back with Jay Vice. We are talking to Jay, the Director of Communications for Second Harvest. You're listening to WGSO 990 AM. You got some questions for Jay? Give us a call, 504-556-9696. We'll be right back.
Have you ever eaten something new and wondered where it had been all your life? We thought that about Double D sausage after having it at a friend's house. But restaurants all over town serve it in their gumbo, red beans, and jambalaya. It's made right in Bogalusa, and the company is in its third generation. Double D sausage is a light smoke pure pork sausage with notes of sage and other spices. Try the regular mild and hot, and new flavors like the Cajun variety and jalapeno and cheddar. Double D sausage in stores all over town. The best meals always start with the best ingredients. If you're cooking seafood, the best ingredients are at Mandeville Seafood. All local fish, Louisiana shrimp, oysters, crab, crawfish, wild salmon, and Dungeness crabs. With a little notice, Mandeville Seafood can get anything in the seafood universe you may want to try. Mandeville Seafood, celebrating 25 years.
When you're awake, the things you think come from the dreams you dream. Thought has wings, and lots of things are never what they seem.
The melodious voice of Tom Fitzmaurice. Tom sings us in and out of breaks.
That's wonderful, yeah.
And we just love hearing him.
He was talked into at, you know, my wife Lisa, when we were dating, we found each other online. It was one of these digital hookups, but it was great because they matched us up because we were both into broadcasting. We both didn't know what that meant, but she was a huge fan, of sports. She still goes to all the games with a headset and listens now to, you know, the play-by-play with Deuce and Mike, and but going way back, and also at the LSU games too. But she was a huge fan of the food show. She had been to a lot of Tom's Eat Clubs,
yeah.
Long before I had even been to one. So we started dating, and I was working with Tom, and she knew Tom and Mary Ann back there. So it was a really small world type thing. But
it's New Orleans.
Yeah, we were eating at, it was a great eat club at one of Chef Duke's places back then. I can't remember which.
Giovanni.
Yeah, it was great. And he kept encouraging Tom to sing. And after, kind of after the third wine, tasting,
yes.
The large tastings, Tom was encouraged to sing. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady there singing, too. I can't remember. It was an actual opera singer.
Yeah, he used to have opera singers
yeah.
there.
You may have been at that very one. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't think so.
And he sang at another one that we did at a really interesting Chinese Asian place on Magazine that I can't remember.
Really?
It was one of the very few, Lisa told me, it's like one of our very first ones, one of the very few e-clubs that was kind of a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of passed around and interesting, and they had this 110 proof rice wine. It wasn't sake.
Whoa.
It was something stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
And after a few of those, Tom and I were trying out. He was encouraged to sing then too.
Yes.
those were great. Those are some fond memories.
He still sings. As a matter of fact, he goes to singing lessons now every Friday.
Oh, wow.
And Marianne said that his singing teacher, we'd like for him to record a few more of
yeah.
these. And so I think that's in the future for us.
That is great.
But yeah, there's e-clubs. You know, again, the pandemic, I mean, just
yeah.
kind of killed them. And we tried to get another one up in October of this year. We were going to do one at Gabrielle
yeah.
during Duck Month.
Yeah.
And it just didn't, we just couldn't get it together. But that's on
yeah.
the horizon again.
Yeah.
Tell Lisa to keep tuning in,
because
we do want to do those because those
yeah.
were fun.
We went to Tom's E-Club dinner maybe for his 25th or 30th anniversary at Commander's Palace, which was very nice.
Yeah.
And ran into an executive chef, Megan, who's the executive chef there now. She was at an event with us with Commander's. We were doing a Second Harvest food distribution, and they brought down some fantastic chili that Commander's Palace made a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
We were distributing that and other products and disaster supplies in Duloc.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Megan was a sous chef or something back then. She remembered the whole thing. I was like,
really?
It was, goodness, it must have been 10 years ago.
Oh, or, yeah, it has
so.
To be.
Man, memories. But anyway, you know, Second Harvest dealing with all this, the restaurant industry in particular, we'll talk about that. And my intersection with Second Harvest Food Bank. I've been there for 8 years, and October was 8 years for me. And walking into Second Harvest, I was a radio broadcaster.
Yeah.
I was had been a traffic reporter, you and I together, and then worked together at Intercom, WWL.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a news reporter there and had done some stories about Second Harvest Food Bank. And that was by phone. It was interviews about Duck Derby or fundraisers
right,
and stuff like
right.
that. And when I went over for the communications position and interviewed and walked in the doors, and it's a 200,000 square foot facility near Harahan.
Incredible.
It's really incredible. A 30,000 square foot facility over in Lafayette as well. And just walking around and seeing the sheer volume, because it's about 40 million pounds a year for a normal year pre-COVID. You know, talking about 3.2 million pounds of food a month. And since COVID, since March of 2020, on average, we've roughly doubled that. We've done 70 to 80 to 90% amount, 70-80% more food per month continuously. And it's been tough. As it impacts the restaurant industry, we saw that as well. It was such, New Orleans, San Francisco, New York City were three of the early hot spots because tourist destinations, dense, small. Well, we're a small city. It was really packed with people from Mardi Gras. We had no idea. There was like three cases or seven cases in the country at the time when we had Mardi Gras. So that was
right.
a super spreader event.
That's right.
Nobody had died. We had no. We were the guinea pigs, and we didn't know it. So us, San Francisco, New York were the first areas where it really blossomed. And we saw from our side, we work year round with the restaurant industry, fantastic partners, the LRA. They do so much for us in terms of fundraisers, but also collecting unused meals and catering and stuff like that. So from our side, we saw kind of behind the scenes the immediate impact, both on the restaurants, the ones that are trying to stay open, all of the service industry that just were suddenly out of work.
Mm-hmm.
It was a part of our economy that was immediately shut off to funds, whether it was the owners, the proprietors,
right.
managers, hostesses, line servers, everybody from the dishwasher to the executive chefs were immediately hit by this
yeah.
thing. And we have never had a disaster before, and hopefully never since, that hit us like that.
Not.
And that turned around and impacted Second Harvest Food Bank, not just us, but the hundreds of agencies that we support and other organizations like ours. We were immediately responding to help as many people as we could in the service industry.
Well, we have a caller on the line. We have Steve. Steve is one of our regular callers, and he said he wants to talk to you. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve. How's it going, man?
First, I wanted to tell Patty, you got to loosen Jay up a little bit. Get him to talk, you know?
It's hard to talk.
He seems to be so shy.
Thanks, man. I really enjoy talking, going down memory lane with radio. And I really enjoy talking about Second Harvest. So, love
Jay,
to have a platform.
I was just going to say, we're not supposed to talk about politics on the radio, but I'm going to say it's a darn shame. Politics don't work like you guys do.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You guys are not out for you. You're out for us.
Well,
and it's a doggone shame that politicians aren't that way.
Well, thanks, man. I've mentioned to Patty, and I've mentioned here a couple. I really, really take that to heart. I've mentioned that I've been there about 8 years. And they've been around. My boss has been there 15. And
aren't you about term limited out?
Yeah. I have to sit out a year and then come back. But I've seen so many examples of people, just hundreds, countless examples of people, for instance, getting the help they need, getting back on their feet, and starting their own pantry. Or we have volunteers that have been with us for years, 10 years or more. Just really humbling examples of people who either have had need themselves, seen the need in their community, and just stepped up quietly, and just countless examples. And it really drives home to me and to us what we're doing. I have a back in, it's not politics, but back at the beginning of the pandemic, Kristen Palmer started hosting. I mentioned early on that a lot of our regular partner agencies and food pantries were shut down. So some of the council members just started organizing little distributions in their neighborhood, and Kristen Palmer did. And we were delivering meals and supplies. And it happened to be my wife was went to school at Holy Angels, which ain't there no more.
Yeah, and that's where I went to school.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Y'all went together. Yeah. So it was. Mm-hmm. We had a distribution in that parking lot now. It's a senior apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the first ones, Steve, and it was about not even 2 weeks into the pandemic. And we were going, folks were going through the line. And we had these big signs we had made up, roll up windows, pop trunk. Smile. But this lady cracked her window and handed me a note and was just waving. She still had her mask on. It was a handwritten note on the back of a check stub or something like that. And it was just a really heartfelt, well-written, much better handwriting than me, just thanking us for remembering the service community, that it really means a lot that people are thinking of them in particular.
How do you not cry?
I'm trying not to now, man. No, seriously, it really, I had that blown up, and it's in my office at work.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me that, apparently was in, when I circled around to thank her kind of through the other window, and she just explained she had been a hostess and that she had a good job. She didn't say which restaurant or anything, but that it had hit her family hard, and she was just thankful. Because this one, Kristen had specifically set up for service industry, but it was open to everyone, anybody in the neighborhood.
Well, I'm in the music business, and I know it just killed us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and thank God I am not at a point where, my wife and I'm 67 years old. I'm not doing it for the money anymore, but good God, there are so many that are that it just tears you up, you know, that it wasn't that they did anything wrong but they're out of business.
And it's so hard to see too, because it's people who are here because they love the city. They do some very unique things here. We have a unique, unique music scene that, there's a lot of venues, but not a lot of people make a lot of money on it, but it's a lot of people make livings on it. And the same thing in the restaurant world. And my wife is in the business as well. So it's people who are here and love the city and love the people. But maybe we're working and holding it together. A lot of people without insurance and things like that. And then, you know, this hits them first and hardest. And that was hard to see.
Oh yeah. That's the money that's not necessary. You know, we get the money that's not necessary. If you got some spare money, that's where the musicians and the restaurants get it, you know. Not the first money.
I think y'all are so absolutely though necessary to for the very fabric of this city and for what people come here for. And I hope more people recognize that. It's like, not to beat up on Cleveland, but, you know, we could have, you know, city services and things like that, and like the old famous quote that I can't even repeat it correctly, but
there's three cities, yeah. New Orleans, New York, San Francisco, and all the rest of Cleveland.
and somebody, yeah. Some comedian, I can't think of his name, on his headstone it says, "I'd rather be here than in Cleveland."
Oh.
I can't remember. I can see his face and I can't think of it.
With apologies to my very good friends from Cleveland. The Greater Cleveland Food Bank, who helped us out a lot after Katrina. So it's one big house here. But
by the way, yeah. Patty, he mentioned something about chili at Commander's.
Off the air. We already had our Wendy's chili conversation, Steve. So don't think I forgot you. I never forgot you.
Oh, man.
I got in real trouble for that, Jay.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to deny this when Marianne comes back. You know that.
It's okay. I mean, if it's good and you like it. It's,
that's right.
We
got a break for the news. You want to hang on, Steve, or thanks for calling?
No, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you, Steve. It's great to meet you and talk to you, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have to break for the news. It's 2:30. You're listening to WGSO.
Louisiana Radio Network News. I'm Dave Brannon. Senator Bill Cassidy is lauding the signing of the $1 trillion-plus infrastructure bill by President Biden on Monday.
There's going to be money in our state and nationwide to rebuild roads and bridges. It's going to reduce traffic, time spent in traffic. It's going to prevent floods. Flood mitigation, improve internet access.
Cassidy says the infrastructure bill will deliver to improve the lives of people in Louisiana. When it comes to Louisiana politics, there's still some surprise that Constitutional Amendment 1 didn't pass. It would have created a centralized sales tax collection system. House Speaker Clay Schexnider authored the legislation.
We felt we had a really good amendment there to help move our state forward, and I can tell you, it was disappointing to see it go down.
The state currently has 54 tax collection entities, making it complex for businesses and individuals to maneuver through, and a lawsuit was filed yesterday declaring Louisiana's system as unconstitutional based on a Supreme Court ruling in 2018. LRN.
Take your shot for $100. Shot for 100 is now for all y'all. Louisiana residents who roll up their sleeves and get their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine at select locations will receive a $100 Visa gift card while supplies last. Visit shotfor100.com for hours and locations where you can get your vaccine and take your shot for 100. That's shotfor100.com. Brought to you by the Louisiana Department of Health.
This is Insurance Commissioner Jim Donlan reminding Medicare beneficiaries that open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th. Open enrollment is the time to assess your health care needs and compare available plans and benefits. Your Medicare plan should meet your needs and budget. Our Senior Health Insurance Information Program staff is available to answer your questions. Counselors provide free and unbiased guidance. Call us 1-800-259-5300 or log on to ldi.la.gov.
WGSO 990 AM has recently become recognized as an official 501c3 nonprofit organization capable of accepting tax-deductible donations. So, in commemoration of our 75th anniversary, the station is launching a 75 for 75 campaign with the goal of raising $75,000 in 2021. The funds that are raised will be dedicated to help the station fulfill our broadcast mission and satisfy any equipment needs that arise. These donations are especially important because, unlike most radio stations in New Orleans, WGSO is independent, locally owned and operated, and not part of a national broadcasting conglomerate. To donate, go to WGSO.com and click on the Donate button on the front page. Help us to continue to be the community voice of the Crescent City.
Autumn in New York. Why does it seem so inviting?
And we're back, and with autumn in New York. I don't know if it's autumn in New York right now or winter.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cold, pretty cool here. It's going to warm up, though, from what I understand.
So continuing our thought from what we were just talking about, I'm Jay from Second Harvest, and Patty and I were talking about season tickets and stuff, and talking mm-hmm. about sometimes it's a long day with a season ticket, but when the Saints, you know, when they get that win and you're there in the seat. And I just had to say the pick six on Tom Brady a couple of weeks. That was the loudest The loudest I can remember going back to the NFC Championship. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. It was awesome.
There's nothing like it. I mean, I've been a Saints fan forever.
Tracy Porter.
We'll share with our listeners. Jay and I had a Super Bowl moment.
Oh yeah.
I was fortunate enough to be able to. Yeah. Well, let me say, I won the opportunity to buy Super Bowl tickets as a season ticket holder. So we went to the game, of course.
Yeah.
And all the Saints fans were the last people to leave.
So I was there for Saints Radio Network.
Right.
And I didn't have a seat in the press box. I had a seat in there, but all the national big wigs had all the seats.
Of course.
So I sat up on a bunch of boxes with Robert Carroll and Mark Shafisi, Robert Carroll's wife, and we had headsets and we get to listen and watch Jim and Hokie call the Super Bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
It's radio magic, really.
Oh yeah,
I know it's competitive, but it was radio magic. So about middle of the fourth quarter, I went downstairs, saw where it was going, and went down this long spiral ramp, waiting for Saints fans to come out. And won the game. So an hour later, I'm still waiting on Saints fans to come out because it was, and I was holding up.
Because we didn't leave.
Yeah, I was holding up a Saints microphone and a video camera, and all these really PO'd Colts fans are coming out. Get out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Saints fans started trickling out when they forced y'all to leave.
Yeah, apparently. They made us leave. Yeah.
The first one was Patty and her husband coming out. Classic moment.
It was so much fun. It's a time I'll never forget.
Yeah, it was just amazing. You know, an amazing time.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'll get to do that again. Okay, I'm talking with Jay Vice, Director of Communications for Second Harvest. Jay, what are y'all doing for Thanksgiving, and how can people help?
Well, for Thanksgiving, we have been we prepare way in advance for it. We do a lot of senior meals, and we have sponsors that help us with that, like People's Health and Ochsner. Mm-hmm. They'll basically pony up and sponsor 6,000 to 10,000 meals that we produce.
And y'all have a kitchen, right?
We've got a 6,000-square-foot kitchen that can, when we're really ramped up, the most we do is say, thanks to Drew Brees, who helped fund some of this extra equipment and staff when we got into COVID and then the hurricanes, you know, up to 15,000 meals a day.
Wow.
And we had to add shifts, and we were 5 days a week we were running 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
But heading into Thanksgiving and a regular Thanksgiving, this one's a little different. We do a lot of Thanksgiving meals for senior meals, things like that, that we put together. We have the ability, we have a massive freezer, so we can produce these holiday meals ahead of time. It takes a while to do 10,000 of them.
Yeah.
Flash freeze them, and then we'll either take them and go serve them hot, which is what we've done over the years at congregate feedings. It's a corporate term, but it's a sit-down meal with seniors, it's senior citizens across some of our service areas and various parishes. Last year and this year, we really couldn't do that. It's still, COVID is still an issue.
That's true.
We're getting back to normal. So it's been a drive-through thing where they're either hot or we'll ask them and we'll give them a frozen meal. And it's a perfectly good homemade meal. Tell them, take it home, you know, warm it up, put it in the oven. It's got instructions right on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we prepare to do those well in advance. But those are, you know, thousands of meals that we do. But beyond that, we... You know, our kitchen can put out and does put out a lot of produced hot meals for seniors during the holidays, around the year for Kids Cafe. That's after school feeding where kids can be in a safe place, no cost to them. Summer feeding, we have those at libraries and things like that where we just bring meals where we know kids are going to be in a place where they can get a free meal. No strings attached, no questions asked.
Awesome.
But through the holidays, too, the sheer bulk of the meals that we send out is in the pure, you know, I say poundage, that's a corporate term, but the amount of food that is donated to us that we turn around and make available to our pantries, to our community partners, just in, you know, the month of November, probably something like 5 million pounds of food.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an equation for that. It's a little in the weeds, but, you know, it's that makes up about 3.5 million meals that we provide headed into. And that's some of them are holiday meals. A lot of them are staples. And, you know, that's why the public support is so vital, not just during the holidays, from Christmas and Thanksgiving, all throughout the time when people are feeling generous, and it's great for us. But that's how we prepare for the holidays. But we ask folks to remember us through the year. And sometimes people come and volunteer with us And maybe that's the first time for them. It's a family event, and they get that feeling when I walked in and see that, you know, massive operation.
We volunteered for your phone-a-thon. I had no idea.
And then they come on back. Mm-hmm. So if I can throw in, Patty, for all of the above, if you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like to make a monetary donation, every dollar donated helps us provide four meals. Or if you have a food donation, you want to have a food drive or anything else. You want to be a corporate sponsor. If you're a retailer, a mom and pop that wants us, Second Harvest, to help you reduce waste and pick up extra stuff and things that are close to date, all of the above. Just go to our website, no-hunger.org. It's a clunky title, but I inherited it. no-hunger.org, or just Google up Second Harvest Food Bank. A lot of details thrown out while people are driving. Might be easier to remember. Email address is help@secondharvest.org. help@secondharvest.org. All of those come directly to me. So if you have a question about any of the above, you have a question for me personally, and our website is how, if you know somebody who needs help, you can contact us and we can see about getting them help as well, because that's the other side of it. We have a big industrial operation, Harahan. We have a small emergency walk-in pantry, and then we support hundreds of community pantries as well. But that last step is sometimes the hardest for people. It's like, that's wonderful, you do all this. How can I get help? So if people can reach out to us, get in touch with us, they don't have to come all the way out to our facility. We'll find a community food pantry in their neighborhood, one of their local churches that we support, where you can go get the help. Hopefully, in your zip code or nearby. And of course, because so many people are in the metro New Orleans area don't have transportation. And that's a very big deal. So that's a lot to unpack. It's an amazing amount of work that we do, but it all boils down to one person at a time. We do help hundreds of thousands of people a year. We do tens of millions of pounds of food that we collect that's donated through all manner, USDA, the American taxpayer. Thank you very much. Who helps with that as well. But at the end of the day, it's, one person at a time that we're helping. And I've been fortunate that part of my job is the story gathering and talking to people about how their lives have been impacted by hunger. Most of the time, it's unexpected. And it's a very humbling experience. I was there, I'd come from a New Orleans newsroom and did a lot of reporting on crime and things like that. And my stereotypes about hunger, poverty, food stamps, and things like that was blown apart very quickly, because Second Harvest and the community, the organizations that we support people from all walks of life. And in turn, they're often staffed and volunteered by people who were in the same boat. They thought they never would be in this position.
Right.
They're like me, and they walk in and find out it's very different sometimes from what you think.
And then a lot of these people, probably once they get out of that position, they come back and volunteer.
Absolutely. And a sweet friend of mine who just retired, who had Miss Gale out in New Orleans East, and she had years ago, more than 20 years ago, she had just retired from the military, was pursuing a full-time job, but a bunch of things happened to her at once. She got laid off, went through a divorce, a medical emergency in her life, and she had kids. And she had to go through her church pantry the first time. And she didn't know what to expect. And she was very proud. And she was a veteran. But she went to this church pantry, the mission, and they were so warm and open to them and without questions that when she got back on her feet, less than a year later, she made it her mission to start a mission, and she did. Mm-hmm. And over the years, it became one of her biggest partners ever. And she retired about 3 years ago, and the need served by that particular mission over on Dowman is spread out to others. We were doing about 1 million pounds of food a year with her.
Wow.
And it was very organized, where she'd help people that would walk in, but the people who needed regular help, they were all scheduled out, and she had a little waiting area, and it was very, very organized. But all that came, and all those thousands of people were helped because there was a organization available in her church back then where she found herself in a position that she needed help, and she didn't know where to go. And they just made it easy for her to walk in without any questions, minimum paperwork, and they helped her. And that turned around. And that goes, just to your point, that happens so often where somebody gets help from somebody like us. And it may be another organization or another food nutrition organization. There's a lot of them here. There's a lot of organizations that we support that do so many other things. Like, for instance, I just ran into her the other day at lower9.org. Great community organization. They also take, we make deliveries to them, and they do food donations, but they do a lot of community-based stuff right there in the Lower Nine. And that's just That's one example in one parish.
One neighborhood.
And we covered 23 parishes and all these community organizations, from them to Broadmoor, Lafayette. You know, it's very different cultures. I mean, it's very different cultures between parts of New Orleans. It's different cultures between parts of Louisiana. But it's the one thing they have in common. It's well, the two things we have in common across our agency and our organization is, in Louisiana, the love of food, the access to great food, but also at the same time, it's I don't know, if, I never know when to say irony is the right word, but it's ironic and heartbreaking to know that we're in a state that is so well known for food and such great food and the availability of it, at the same time that people need help. But those things all work together. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're able to help a lot of people because it's because of the people that support us. Everything that Second Harvest does is, you know, 80% of our fundraising, 80% of what we do, and donated food, purchased food, monetary donations, is private. And that's from mom and pop donations, monthly donations, one-time donations. It could be, you know, private philanthropy that's given us five-figure donations, but it's private. We get a little help from the USDA American taxpayer with our after-school feeding, summer feeding programs. We get a little stipend for each of those, but that makes up a small part. We get a lot of help from the USDA in terms of poundage. We get more than 25% of our food that we get, and it's great food. It's great commodities and fresh produce. Is the USDA working to purchase food from American farmers and American manufacturers with American taxpayer money? It's well spent. It's one of the most efficient operations I've seen. And they turn around and get that out to food banks like ours. It's an efficiently run operation. That's a real broad scale overview of everything we do. I love to get into the weeds about it. But for somebody thinking about helping out an organization, I joined Second Harvest. One reason I did, once I found out the scale of it, 8 years ago, and the hundreds of thousands of people that we helped, but also because of the efficiency. Second Harvest is extremely efficient with a dollar. It's very low overhead when it comes to fundraising. You know, 3% or lower overhead for fundraising.
That's incredible.
Non-programming. Yeah, and we're always trying to get that down. And as an aside, check out charitynavigator.org. National organization. They rank every nonprofit and charity working in the charity world in America that's got, you know, of a considerable size like ours, and they go through all the IRS forms, all the financials. They do, it's almost like an audit, and we're glad to say we're at the top of the list every year, year after year after year. And
that's incredible.
Well, it's one thing I researched when I looked at Second Harvest. It's a very efficient use of your dollar. And if you donate to Second Harvest, extremely good stewards of the dollar, but also we're also always looking for ways to make it better and spend that dollar in a more, you know, productive way.
We got to take another quick break, and we're talking with Jay Vice, Director of Communications for Second Harvest. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to get personal. I want to know what you're doing for Thanksgiving. So we'll be right back.
Keith Young's Steakhouse on the North Shore in Madisonville is everything anyone thinks of when a steakhouse comes to mind. The environment is elegant and handsome. The service staff is knowledgeable, attentive, and friendly. And most important, the steaks are superb. The steakhouse sides are also great. Keith Young's Steakhouse, 165 Highway 21, Madisonville, 985-845-9940.
The Crescent City Steakhouse has been a favorite since the first time I discovered it on Mardi Gras Day. This old-fashioned steakhouse hasn't changed much since it opened in 1934. I love the steaks. Here is prime beef, dry-aged in-house, a great T-bone or porterhouse steak. The Vojkovic family has welcomed generations of locals to this special place, and they'd love to welcome you. Crescent City Steakhouse, 1001 North Broad, 821-3271.
I like a Gershwin tune. How about you?
And we're back. And who likes Gershwin tunes? We got a call from one of our regular listeners, Ed, who said he does not like Gershwin tunes. So,
oh, okay.
Ed,
well,
you know, we only play that once a show, so we're good with that.
I understand.
Okay, so Jay, so we got to get back to food. So what do you do for Thanksgiving? Do you are y'all go out and serve people? Or you used to, but you don't?
Well, a little bit of both. We provide a lot of food to organizations that do that. on Thanksgiving. And we, like I said, in years before 2020, we did some of that with, again, it's a jargony term, congregate feeding, but sit-down meals.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to do that for a couple of years. But we provide a lot of meals that are done in kind of a drive-through fashion where people can pick them up and things like that.
Do they contact Second Harvest if they want to do that this year? If they need it?
Individual organizations. And like I mentioned earlier, our model is if an organization approaches us, we'll work with them to do that, especially if they have a, you know, a sponsor or somebody like that, if we can find an area and where they can do it safely. And we work with... Sometimes we'll work with organizations kind of that we haven't worked with before, and is, for instance, a disaster setting when it's the Cajun Navies of the world where they're going out taking stuff somewhere. But generally, the partners we work with are long-term partners, been with us for years, a lot of great local organizations, and a lot of them do that type of thing for Thanksgiving.
So somebody could they call Second Harvest and let you know where they live? And you would tell them where the agency is that they can contact?
What we can do, and this close in, we can't really guarantee like a Thanksgiving meal.
Right.
But for folks needing help and getting help for them, yes, we would do that as fast as we can. And understand that a lot of like the community partners that we have, the community pantries, a lot of them may have different hours for the Thanksgiving week as well. So that's why they try to do so much ahead of time. They have their families as to deal with that. And it's the simplest thing is to contact us. No-hunger.org is our website. Let me throw up my email address again. It's help@secondharvest.org. And those all come directly to me. Whether you want to make a donation, you have a volunteer opportunity, question, I'll send it to the right department. Or if you have a question about getting help, I screen all those. And, you know, if somebody doesn't have an answer, I'll find somebody who can.
Awesome.
One more resource for Second Harvest Food Bank. Great partner of ours. We're a proud member of the United Way. And United Way funds number statewide 211. The 211 system.
That's right.
Yep. And it is, it's a non-emergency number. It is staffed 24/7. They have operators who have a lot of information about how to get a lot of ways to help. 211, you can call. You'll go through a menu. You'll say what part of the state you're from. And I think New Orleans is like 7 or 8, the New Orleans metro area. But you could be in Lafayette. You could be in Monroe. You'll get an operator who has all the list of assets from organizations like Second Harvest. We regularly update them with all of our community pantries, ways to get help, and things like that. But they have not only just us, but, you know, some people seeking rental assistance. They need to find out where to get a vaccination. All this great information. So we're proud to partner with them. We'll be happy to answer calls and take calls as well. But if it's after hours especially, or if you you need something, you know, you need food assistance, but you need a little bit extra, try 211. And that'll get you the same information that we will give you too. Just trying to give you as many ways to get help as possible.
Thank you. Okay. So what do you like to eat for Thanksgiving? Now we got to get back to food.
Everything and all of the above. You know, my parents have passed away, but it was always, I'm one of 8 siblings. There was 9 of us.
Oh, wow.
So it was a really big, holiday for us. My dad worked offshore a lot, and there were some Thanksgivings when he couldn't get home, but he would try to work his schedule around there on Christmas Eve where he could. And, you know, it was just the traditional, you know, they had to do a couple of turkeys.
Yeah.
One inside and one in we had a separate stove outside in the shop. So we would have a couple of those going, big extended family coming in. And when I was a kid growing up, it was a big deal. And we had a lot of in-laws and older brothers and sisters who were just dating or getting married. And now I'm 52. And so my dad died about 3 years ago. My mom died about 7. And we have their old place and we keep it up. And we've had family gatherings there. But for the last 2 years, we haven't been able to really get together because of COVID. We haven't even had a crawfish boil. So we're looking forward to Thanksgiving. Excuse me, is getting many of us as we can together for like an evening meal. Because a lot of the families have so many kids now, even grandkids.
Yeah.
And so we're all trying to get together as many people as possible for like a second meal on Thanksgiving Day up in Washington Parish. So I love to eat everything. I even like cranberry sauce and beets. It looks like it's a color that's you don't find really anywhere else in the food pyramid. And I think that's why people go, they probably discovered by some colorblind guys.
Probably.
This tastes great. But I really enjoy everything. I love fried turkey.
You know, I'm I haven't tried that, but I've had a lot of people who tell me how good it is.
It is. I mean, there are some great, great baked turkeys, baked turkey recipes. I love Tom when he did it in the bag. He would always talk about that, how he was really pleasantly surprised how well it comes out. I've done those with chicken. But it's not just, at first when I heard about it, it's like, okay, well, this is a gimmicky thing. It's like, great, you're frying a turkey, you add some leftover oil. It's like, hey, let's fry it.
Right.
But when you taste one, it is, and when it's, when you know, if it's a brine turkey especially, and then it's properly seasoned, and it is just the most amazing all the way through juicy. And it sears it on the outside instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps all the juices in, but it makes it cook it at a much more even temperature, I guess. And when it's done right, it is just, it's fantastic. And I was on another talk show earlier this week, and there was, I can't even remember the name of the organization, but for charity, they're doing the world's largest, this isn't our event, I just thought it was very cool, the world's largest turkey fry. Melvin, I can't remember the name of his organization. They probably already sold out by now, but they were selling, you know, turkeys, the whole fixings and everything you could take now and freeze it. But they're doing it all at once, and I think they're trying for a Guinness World Record. So I wish them the best of luck.
Does anybody else fry turkeys except us?
That's a great question, because, you know, Popeyes does it as a sort of a little industry down here. They are nationwide, worldwide. I don't know if they've taken it beyond Louisiana and the Gulf South. I don't know. It's our little secret. You know?
Yeah, that's true. But now if they're going to get, my point was, if nobody else does it, whatever they do is going to break the record, probably.
That's a good point. We did five turkeys at once.
Yeah.
No, it's a huge family event for us, hopefully, again. It's a lot of memories. Our parents' old place is it's a big old country home. I grew up there, and it's a lot of memories, so we're hoping we can get as many family members together. We're doing as many family recipes as we can from our grandparents, you know, cooking a turkey like my dad did. And if we need to, run out and get a little Popeyes.
Are you doing? What is your dish that you're bringing?
I don't really, you know, Lisa and I she's very much on the wines. She's she works at a wine bistro, so she picks out some great wine and I pay for it. How about that?
Yeah. I like that.
I'll cook a dessert dish or something like that, or fudge brownies and things like that. But all the main courses leave up to the chefs in the family. My brother and two of my sisters, who are the real chefs in the family, so we'll bring sides, we'll bring wine, and try to stay out of the way a little bit and watch some football.
The Saints play Thanksgiving night.
It's going to be an evening game. So let's see. We just got to keep track. Like in fantasy football, you keep track of all your players.
Yeah.
They need a fantasy officiating where we can keep track of which officials are going to be at the game.
Let me tell you, don't get me started on the officials.
You can't ever blame a referee. You shouldn't have to, because it should never be that close.
Yeah.
And then we hit the no call game.
Yeah.
And then we hit this one with the Titans, and even the Titans Twitter page said, "Well, the Saints kind of got robbed on that."
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
It happens. It happens.
You know, the my daughter Tara is a big John Bon Jovi fan.
Okay.
And a couple of years ago, we went on a Bon Jovi cruise in Spain.
Wow.
And part of the package was you got to meet him and take a picture with him. And we were in line to take the picture. And, you know, his people are, okay, take your picture. Okay, keep going. Well, I wore my Saints jersey the picture, because I had heard that he was kind of a Saints fan.
Oh.
And so when we took our picture, when we were walking away, my husband Bob turned around and said to him, "We got robbed." And he said, "Boy, y'all did." And he just went off. And I mean, like, and my daughter's sitting there saying, "I can't believe my dad is having a conversation with John Bon Jovi." And his people kept saying, come on, you got to go. And he was like, "No, man, I can't believe that." And I mean, we had like a 2-minute conversation with John Bon Jovi about the no call.
I never heard that story. Yeah. I got to ask, it was a, you know, Atlantic cruise. When y'all got to the Azores or somewhere halfway across, did he get on the mic and say, "Well, we're halfway there"?
No. Oh, no. He didn't cruise with us.
He
got
kind of
on. It was in. We left from Barcelona.
Yeah.
And we stopped at one of those islands where all the rich people have houses.
Oh, very nice.
And he got on
there.
And performed, and he stayed to the next stop.
So he wasn't out there playing shuffleboard every day.
No, okay. No. He didn't mingle with the fans.
Patty, if I can throw out our website one
Absolutely.
More time before we go. Second Harvest Food Bank. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who supports us now, year-round. Learn more about how you can help. It's our Get Help, no-hunger.org, no-hunger.org, or just Google up Second Harvest Food Bank. We're the first results. Happy to help any way we can. Just reach out with any questions at all.
Can you donate food?
Yes,
like if it, so
absolutely.
We can bring bags of canned goods and non-perishables.
Canned goods, anything like that. We only thing we kind of ask people to be mindful of, no glass jars if you can avoid it.
Right.
Just because we take in so many thousands of pounds. But we take the only thing we don't take is clothes. But any type of food, non-perishable food items especially. Absolutely welcome. If we're closed, you can come by our facility in Harahan, 700 Edwards Avenue. And during the holidays, when it's not raining, we have the big, big boxes outside. You can just drop them off out there as well.
Awesome.
You can drop it off at any Rouse's as well.
Awesome. Well, Jay, thanks so much for spending this time
Patty,
with
this
me.
Has been excellent.
I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And we're listening to WGSO. Now, you know, WGSO is also a nonprofit. And you can go straight to our website, WGSO.com. We're having a big fundraising plan. We're trying to raise $75,000 by the end of the year to upgrade our equipment and our palatial studios. And also, tune in to NoMenu.com. Check out Tom's website, NoMenu.com. Over 400 recipes, and they all come out. I promise you, if you follow the recipe, they come out. So you just have to follow the recipe. That's NoMenu.com. You can also sign up for Marianne's newsletter that she promises is going to be back up. And they won't crowd your inbox with stuff. You get a different newsletter every 2 weeks. It's got recipes and restaurant reports and anything else. Next hour, we have Bob Del Giorno, and the guy who originated the turducken is going to be on with us to tell us about those. Right now, it's 4 o'clock, and it's time for USA Radio News.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is in New Hampshire promoting his big infrastructure bill that he signed at the White House on Monday. Biden speaking at an aging bridge in Woodstock, about 60 miles north of the capital city of Concord. The $1.2 trillion measure covers extensive renovations of bridges, highways, rails, and ports. This as Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says many Americans are concerned and hurting due to the higher gas and energy bills, and it's only going to get worse.
There's no part of our economy that can afford another massive dose of socialism.
McConnell, no fan of the bill Biden signed on Monday. It's the first day of deliberations in the Wisconsin trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. The state does have 500 National Guard troops standing by in case the verdict sparks unrest. This is USA Radio News.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender-scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
A once-in-a-century event will be happening this Friday.
You can see the longest partial lunar eclipse in hundreds of years this week. Friday's eclipse will last 3 hours, 28 minutes, and 23 seconds, marking it the longest in centuries. You can learn more at space.com. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The Labor Secretary is talking about a record number of Americans quitting their jobs. That figure comes to 4.4 million in September.
Quite honestly, people are just not happy in their career where they are, and they are concerned about the coronavirus. The coronavirus has not gone away.
Marty Walsh not addressing the fact that the administration is also forcing workers at companies with over 100 employees to get a COVID jab, along with all federal employees and federal contractors. Iran is resuming nuclear equipment at an unmonitored facility. That's according to a diplomat, presenting a new challenge for the United States as it prepares for nuclear talks. This is USA Radio News.
Lights out, everybody.
Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet.
Pleasant dreams.
The greatest radio shows of all time, USA Classic Radio Theater. On these radio stations or on demand by searching USA Classic Radio Theater. USA Classic Radio Theater.
A failed Senate and presidential candidate is now throwing his name in the hat to be Texas's next governor.
Beto O'Rourke announced his run for Texas governor, targeting the incumbent governor, Greg Abbott, who is seeking a third term.
We make progress on the things that most of us actually agree on, like expanding Medicaid or legalizing marijuana.
Once a congressman, O'Rourke caught national attention when he almost unseated Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, in 2018.
Well, now the cool front will be arriving Thursday with that some scattered showers, but dry yet today and tomorrow, a little warmer each day. Tonight, patchy fog could return, 60s mostly in the morning, and then there could be a few upper 50s in the cooler spots. We'll head to a high tomorrow under sunshine, though, back to near 80. Shower, thunderstorm Thursday, 60s in the morning, go to a high end in the upper 70s. 50s in the morning Friday, sunshine for the afternoon in the middle 60s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. Need business funding? Get up to $25,000. If you have an active business checking account, gross over $5,000 monthly. And if you own commercial real estate free and clear, borrow up to 70% LTV. With credit scores of 551 and up, monthly sales of $17,000, 3 months business bank statements, loan amounts up to $500,000. All at quickfundingleasing.com. Call today, 888-972-7436. 888-972-7436.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Food Show, or as Marianne likes